fighting for America.
He's a murderer! A cold-blooded murderer! We didn't say the Cardinal thing! A cold-blooded murder! That's it! Homicide! It's a homicide!
Fighting for Idaho.
The notion that white cops are out there just killing black people, that's ridiculous. And I hate that narrative coming out of that, out of this entire situation. You know, they're the only thing in the ghetto between this place being the Wild Wild West.
Fighting for you.
I don't know if we like facts. That's going to probably deflate the story, but please go ahead.
I understand that.
Boise's Mr. Right.
We thank you for listening and for calling in.
You're welcome.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And Kevin Miller in the Morning, your inoculation from the politically correct pablum permeating throughout the public airwaves. God bless you. Thank you all for joining us here at 580 KIDO. And you know, I sit back and we sit here at the broadcast center and we think to ourselves how blessed we are to live in the state of Idaho, the land of the free, the home of the brave. Gee, Kevin, didn't that used to be the United States of America? Of course, we could call it the United States of racism, the United States of blame. We don't have those issues here in Idaho. Then, Kevin, why do we talk about them? Because we talk about what you want to talk about, right? That's really what it comes down to. How do you address these issues? You sit back and you go again and again and again, Al Sharpton and others that are just, I mean, was Al Sharpton dropped on his head as a kid that he continues to stir things up? It's interesting, and it comes down to a matter of trust, which this program has been at the forefront of establishing trust for quite some time. Let's start off with a, how should we put this, a great story, and that's something good about Idaho. In fact, I think it was one of our incarnations of the news. You can always tell when a new news person comes to town, a new news boss, because you know, you go from on your side to in your face to slap the slappy or what have you, or the truth tellers or Absolutely Idaho. And I know what you're saying, Kevin. TV is, local TV is so irrelevant to me that if it's not The Voice or Homeland, I really don't care. And you're right about that. It is irrelevant to us. But, you know, there are some good stories going on here. And let's start off with our friends at the Idaho Humane Society. That, you know, they're, and by the way, you know, we need to get back involved with the shelter community. And we just have to find an appropriate group to be involved with or groups. There are so many, and we did some wonderful work at the Canyon County Animal Shelter. They've renamed that facility now, the West Ada Humane Society, I believe. But really props, and let me just start with this, and you're not going to hear any other talk show host in America, because, you know, if it leads, it bleeds. But we try our very best to be honest with you. And I have to say, hats off to the Idaho Humane Society for bringing in 50 small dogs to be adopted for Christmas. And when you adopt an animal from the shelter, they adopt you, really. And I would urge you to go and pick one up, and not just pick one up for a gift, pick one up for yourself. It really enhances your life. And yeah, sometimes you have to take them to the vet and you have to take care of them. If you're not going to take care of a sheltered pet, then don't do it. Maybe make a donation. But big ups to the Idaho Humane Society. And I'd love to see big dogs, black dogs. You know, I have black dogs and I don't know why people discriminate against them. But, it just from my heart to yours, that's some good news. That's some good news. You know, there's some crazy stories going on, and I guess even the thoughts of racism have started to permeate themselves here in the state of Idaho. Now, how many of you have lived in the South, or you remember the Civil War and everything else, where we're talking about the battle between the North and the South, right? And if you have relatives in the South, you know what I'm talking about. They talk about it's the war of Northern aggression, the Yankees, and all those sorts of things. And, you know, one of Abraham Lincoln's favorite songs was this one. Do you know what it is? Sounds pretty innocuous to me, doesn't it? There we have it. What's the harm of a little old Dixie in the morning? There we go. Kind of picks up. Look away. Look away. I'm not a singer today. Okay, we can't turn this into the bluegrass station. However, we have this from the Idaho Statesman's Sven Berg. In April 2013, a Canyon County jury convicted James D. Kirk. No, not Captain Kirk. Kirk, an African-American, of a felony of lewd conduct with a 17-year-old girl and sexual battery of a 13-year-old girl. Well, Kirk, then 45, shame on you, Kirk, was sentenced to 8 to 20 years in prison. Last week, the state appellate public defender's office asked the Idaho Court of Appeals to overturn Kirk's conviction and order a new trial. Why do you say that, true believers? The reason, Canyon County Deputy Prosecutor Erica Callen paraphrased the opening lines of the song Dixie, the Confederate war anthem, as she addressed the jury. By the way, thanks to the Idaho Statesman, they do have the quotes from Dixie. Do we have that? Let's take a listen here.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Andy Stetson. This comes a lot from this man in our house. I listen to this one song that some people know it, it's the Dixie song, right? Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton, good times not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away. And isn't that really what you kind of been asked to do? Look away from the two eyewitnesses. Look away from the two victims. Look away from the nurse and her medical opinion. Look away. Look away.
Look away. There you have it from our friends at the Idaho Statesman. And there we have Mr. Berg saying racism or just a song. Whether she meant it or not, Callen made Kirk's case a racial matter, Eric Fredrickson said, the state public defender who argued Kirk's appeal. Now, this is how stupid and inane and the infection of racism is now infecting the Gem State. You have a man, a 45-year-old black man who was convicted of lewd conduct with a 17-year-old girl and sexual battery of a 13-year-old girl. And they're going to, what, overturn his conviction? They're going to scrutinize it because of Dixie? Because the origins of Dixie? I'm sorry, where was Idaho in the battle for Southern independence? Where was Idaho in any of this? This is so irrelevant. The origins of Dixie, although probably not initially racist, can be viewed by some as being the animus of racism, Fredrickson said. He told the four-member Court of Appeals last week, the reality is that even if one juror found it to be misconduct, that's enough for reversal. Callen wasn't trying to stir racism against Kirk, a black man, in order to secure his conviction for abusing two white victims. Canyon County spokesman Joseph Decker said in an email, in fact, she absolutely is mortified by the allegations. See, but here's the deal on this. Here's the skinny on this, my friends. It's not about whether or not Kirk decided to rape these guys or sexual battery these guys or lewd conduct. He was convicted. But now race goes into this. I'm sorry, but if you're convicted of lewd conduct with a 17-year-old girl and you're a 45-year-old man, you need to do time. If you're convicted of sexual battery of a 13-year-old girl, you need to do time. Dixie has nothing to do with it. Oh, here we go. The Idaho Attorney General's office. It's pretty common knowledge that the song Dixie is associated with the South. Well, if you take a look at the South is predominantly African American. And second, I don't think it's really much of a stretch to indicate that it's associated with the antebellum South or even the Confederacy. This is the state of Idaho, true believers. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Are we talking racism because now you can't even quote Dixie? You have some people saying even the word Dixie is racist. According to Mr. Jorgensen, to then interpret that as a call of racism, a call to consider the defendant's race in relation to the case, I think is where this ultimately breaks down. To interpret anybody who would use this song as racial motives or overtones, I think that is less clear. Again, I go back to this. So is the term Dixie disqualifying a conviction? Now you have Aaron Bozzelli, the attorney who represented, I guess, Kirk, said he too was surprised, partly because he'd been on the other end side of the courtroom and never heard Callan mention Dixie. In my 18 years of trial practice, I've never heard anybody sing those words. I don't know if it impacted the verdict, but when you're sitting in the court, there's one black guy sitting next to you and the prosecutor singing Dixie. It just seemed a little weird. Callan declined through Decker to comment. Closing in 2013 when she assisted on a Madison County case. Now, so here we have a prosecutor trying to do her job. And her point was, you can't look away when we're talking about sexual battery, lewd conduct involving men in their 40s with teenagers. And did she mean to be racist? Is it racist to say look away? I mean, the audio is horrible, but can you get that? I mean, the idea that you have two eyewitnesses, two victims. Think about that. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So now even the great state of Idaho is not immune to the calls of racism. So they're going to take a look at this conviction. Should they? If it were your kids, would you want the conviction possibly overturned because somebody said, I wish I were in the land of cotton, look away? You can't look away when they're victims. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller with you, taking your calls on the issues that matter to you. Coming up, we used to be number one. Not anymore. We'll tell you who is and what it means for our national security next. 6:18 on a Friday. Let's get you to work.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton, old town there. I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Away, away, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. The term Dixie, the song Dixie, is that racist? And to mention that in a courtroom involving a black defendant, does that mean that his conviction of lewd conduct with a 17-year-old, his conviction of a lewd of sexual battery with a 13-year-old girl should be overturned? Folks, that's what they're considering. Phone numbers here, 580-5436. 580-KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's hear what you have to say. We start with Linda in Emmett. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. I see no reason to retry this man. The thought of his being retried and possibly found not guilty when it was proven that these two girls were psychologically and physically damaged is it makes my stomach boil. He's had one trial. Why do we need to spend the money on a second trial when it probably isn't going to turn out any different?
Well, the idea that it's controversial, you heard what the prosecutor said.
Yeah.
She was making her case about a witness, the victims.
That's ridiculous. What are we going to end up with? Civil war again? The North versus the South, the East versus the West? This is, God help us if we run into something, you know, we end up in something like that, because it isn't going to be about economics this time. It's going to be against who's got the biggest gun, who's got the most guns, who's got the biggest crowd behind them.
Well, that's why God matters, Linda. That's why
God, you're right.
Conservatism matters. That's why morality matters, because the media wants no part in promoting America. They want to tear it down. And you take a look at the legal system here, where all of a sudden we're going after this innocent prosecutor based on the fact that she said she quoted Dixie. And I love how everybody's an expert on the South, probably having never visited that area or lived there.
Well, I have lived in the South.
I've lived in the South, yeah.
And I lived in the South in pardon me, 64, 65. And even then, you know, you had painted on bathroom doors, white people, Negroes. White people, Negroes.
Right, but that's not, Linda, you know, that's not America anymore.
No, I know it isn't.
It ain't America anymore, Linda. I got to run, but thank you.
Okay, dear.
All right, our great friend Linda from Emmett. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I mean, are we trying to make Idaho what we see in other parts of the country? How much can we take? How much can the country, black, white, brown, whatever, take with the continued unrest, the continued attacking, the continued purpose to go after folks in authority?
I can't breathe. I don't know what video they were looking at. Evidently, it wasn't the same one that the rest of the world was looking at. You know, how could we put our trust in the justice system when they fail us like this?
You've heard in so many places people of all backgrounds utter the same basic phrase. They've said, Black Lives Matter. And they said it because it had to be said. It's a phrase that should never have to be said. It should be self-evident.
There's a man that was choked out on camera. No one was arrested. They were on leave and they were paid, and no one's losing their jobs. This is ridiculous.
NYPD, how you spell racist? NYPD, how you spell murderers? NYPD.
This happens all the time, from Trayvon to Michael Brown to Eric Garner, and we're just tired of it. And people always say things aren't going to change. Well, it's not going to change if you're sitting at home.
Michael Brown, Eric Garner.
This is an American problem and not just a black problem or a brown problem or a Native American problem. This is an American problem. When anybody in this country is not being treated equally under the law, that's a problem. And it's my job as president to help solve it.
This would have been a misdemeanor arrest. The police made almost 250,000 misdemeanor arrests in New York City last year. This was the only fatality.
You cannot resist arrest, because resisting arrest leads to confrontation. Confrontation leads to tragedy. So we feel badly that there was a loss of life. But unfortunately, Mr. Gardner made a choice that day to resist arrest.
Shame. He's a murderer, a cold-blooded murderer. We didn't say the cardinal thing, a cold-blooded murder.
Homicide.
That's it, homicide. It's a homicide.
He
There's no damage to the windpipe and no damage to the neck. If he had not been obese, did not have diabetes, did not have asthma, this would not have happened. Now, the cops didn't know that. He didn't know that was going to happen. Nobody intended this to happen.
The police affect everyone. And when it doesn't appear that there's actually justice happening in our system and the system fails us, then who do we trust? Who do we believe in?
Who do we trust? Who do we believe in? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. More coming up on this, but the idea, my friends, that we're going to start saying that you can't say Dixie, you can't say... What can you say in America? Number one. And number two, the fact that somebody said they quoted the song Dixie, does that mean that a conviction of lewd conduct with a 17-year-old, sexual battery of a 13-year-old, should be absolved? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Plus, Kathleen Sebelius starts talking about that Americans happen to be dummies when it comes to money. We'll explain next. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're joined by Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern. Jared, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you. Good morning.
So we've got some things are going up, and everybody's going to be all excited to hear the details concerning their premiums going up, being facetious. But that's the waivers are over, so let the good times roll when we're talking about the Affordable Care Act.
Well, yeah, the headline, I guess, for sure, was that the rates for these health care plans through the Affordable Care Act are going to go up about 5% on average in 2015. That being said, it's really being trumpeted as good news from the administration, because before the implementation of the healthcare law, premiums across the board went up every single year, continue to go up every single year by considerably more than 5% on average, closer to 10, sometimes 15%. So while there is an increase, certainly the spin here at the White House is that this is actually good news, because it shows what they've been saying the law would do all along, and that's over time reduce the cost of health care in the United States.
Well, that's their spin. What's the reality?
Well, the reality is that health care plans do go up every single year. I think anybody that's had a plan through their employer over the last decade will know that firsthand. Certainly you have your own opinion on whether or not you think it should go up at all. One thing that obviously keeps these rates down is the number of people in the risk pool, the number of people enrolled in these health care plans. That number fell a little bit short of expectations last year for the administration. Their argument all along has been the more people that are enrolled in these plans, the cheaper it will be, because you have a broader risk pool. They need more younger, healthier people in that pool, obviously, to bring the cost down. One thing that will certainly over the next couple of years contribute to that, you would think, is that this tax or fee or fine or whatever it's being called this week continues to increase every year that you don't have health insurance.
Indeed. Of course, you have to wonder what the Supreme Court will decide concerning it and the ramifications of a decision either way.
Well, that's going to be something closely watched, right, this whole subsidy issue.
Yeah.
And whether or not you can get that subsidy if you purchased your plan through healthcare.gov and not a state exchange. That's something that could really undermine this law, right? Because one of the reasons that healthcare premiums are lower than, the rate that they have been going up is because people are able to afford them and are enrolling in this plan through some tax credits. If those were to be stripped away by the Supreme Court, you wonder, one, would Congress try and fix it? And if not, what that would do to the overall implementation of the law. Remember, far more states are relying on the government, the federal government health exchange, than setting up their own.
And the drama continues. Of course, then you have a lot of people being dropped and being forced to go into the exchanges. And we'll see how it all plays out, of course. Hopefully Congress will fund itself before the end of the year.
Well, that's something we're watching closely. We have until December 11th. Now, we should point out that both the House and Senate are out today because it's a Friday. So no work on it today, at least not formally. I mean, people are still behind closed doors. One thing that will be fascinating to watch is, how this executive action on immigration scuttles the budget talks. One thing that the House did yesterday was take this largely symbolic vote, which essentially undoes the executive actions of the president on immigration, but it's not going to be taken up by the Senate. Will that sort of vote, that at least, presentation be enough for some Senate conservatives to go along with whatever a funding bill is. Any funding bill that they have, whether it's short-term or long-term, presumably to be signed by the president, is going to have to fund the entire government. So it does set up, obviously, this question of what's the strategy going to be. So far, it seems like Republican leadership are content to just sort of have this separate issue, this separate vote on immigration, and do the budget separately. There is some talk that potentially they could do some sort of long-term spending bill for everything except DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, maybe set up some sort of long-term funding bill for the whole government that gets us through the rest of the fiscal year into October, but they would have to re-vote on authorizing DHS money, say, in January or February. That's something that is a little controversial. It would be certainly unclear if the Senate would go along with something like that, certainly unclear if the White House would go along with something like that, but it is an option on the table. And, oh, by the way, the clock's ticking because government funding expires on December 11th.
And they've taken Friday off.
This Friday, yeah. That's next Thursday, December 11th? So if they get it all done, they can have next Friday off too. But they're going to have to get it done.
Well, we're counting on you to not take any days off between now and then.
I'll try my best.
Jared, take care.
You too.
All right, Jared Halpern joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning here. 580 KIDO. Coming up, one major Catholic university is teaching a class on the benefits of white privilege. And, yeah, you can actually get credit for that. By the way, a story we've been teasing nonstop, so why don't we get to it? China now is the world's number one economy. And for the first time since Ulysses S. Grant was president, we're number two, I think. Watch out for Indonesia. Watch out for India. Watch out for these others, but we're number two. So how did that really happen? Well, we know how it happened. We gave away our jobs, and we've given the Chinese our goods and all our manufacturing. Just look at the success of Alibaba. But China now is number one, the world's largest economy. Hopefully they'll be nice to us. Pro-Life, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Yeah, that case having to do with the guy appealing because of Dixie, that's pretty frivolous, I think.
If people are just tuning in, last hour we talked about the case involving a Canyon County prosecutor convicted a man, 45, who happened to be black, of sexual battery of a 13-year-old girl, a lewd conduct with a 17-year-old. And now they're looking into the conviction because she quoted Dixie at the end of her closing arguments.
Yeah, it sounds pretty stupid. Here's the thing that I'm really concerned with is that the Obama administration is a set up. I think that they're intentionally doing this. They want these grand juries to come back with no indictments because they want to destroy local and state grand jury situations. They want that to go away and everything go to the federal court. It's, of course, unconstitutional. It's wrong. And then I don't hear anybody standing and saying, listen, we're not going to have this. You just get your paws out of the states and have nothing to do with this. But the Democrats want that. So in, Democrat governor in Missouri, Democrat administration in New York, that's what they're going after. And you'd think that the Republicans would stand up and say, listen, this is...
Look, the Republicans are going to lie down on immigration, so it doesn't matter.
They're going to lie down on everything.
I have to say this, though. It is nice to see the state of Idaho joining the other states who are suing the government over the alleged amnesty coming from the president.
No,
I think that's great. But what do you want to do?
They need to talk about him.
What do you want to do? Be like the state of Utah and just grab your federal lands back?
Yeah, they could do that too. But the thing is, if you're not going to talk about impeachment, the president is going to run over everybody. And
he already has.
Yeah, I know. I call once a week for the last, 6 years, asking everybody in my congressional delegation to talk about impeachment.
And what do they say? Not you again?
Yeah, they say not me again. That's exactly right. They send me some kind of a stupid letter that doesn't say anything. So we're in bad trouble because we have such a wimpy bunch of Republicans.
I don't know how to respond to that.
I know. There isn't any response because we voted in the wrong people. We have wimpy people. We have wimpy voters, stupid voters, in fact. And so, hey, that we're here because we're, you know, it's a reflection of us, the people. So I don't know. Keep after it, Kevin.
All right, pro-life. God bless.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up next, one major university, you'll know who this is teaching a course in white privilege should it come to a college near you. 6:48, time for traffic at 580.
Back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Part of the same narrative, it's the same linear story as far as I'm concerned, and I appreciate Peter King's position, and I agree with it. We very much appreciate the protections and the role that police play in our communities. But there are some very, very bright lines, Alex, that have begun to appear over the last 18 to 24 months. And they tell us, at least, that a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. Well, clearly a black man's life is not worth a ham sandwich when you put these stories together. And that is the frustration that a lot of African Americans seem, and a lot of Americans, quite honestly, have with these two decisions. The facts and the evidence all put into the proper context begs that this at least gets to a jury of the individual's peers, so that we as a community.
There we have it, Michael Steele, the former RNC chairman, now the belle of the ball on MSNBC, talking about a black man's life isn't worth a ham sandwich. Huge allegations to make.
On behalf of Michelle, Malia, Sasha, mom-in-law, and our reindeer, Bo and Sonny, I want to wish all of them, and I want to wish all of you, a very, very Merry Christmas and a holiday filled with joy.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Who says we're not full of good news today? At 580KIDO, here you go. Here's something that is interesting. Maybe it'll come to Boise State. The University of Notre Dame is offering a one-hour credit seminar discussing critical issue of white privilege. The class is being offered in the spring of 2015 in the course register. The course is listed as Sociology 25280 and is named White Privilege Seminar. The course will meet 8 times next semester for 2 hours. Let's see. We'll talk about the White Privilege Conference, delegation participants on the definitions of historical current paradigm of causes and effects of white privilege. Boy, don't you love that? Go Irish. And we go to Mike in Eagle with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Kevin. Good morning. Just a quick comment. I've trying to think mentally through how you look at all this stuff that's going on, the stuff in Ferguson and Staten Island. And I mean, I know the Staten Island thing does to me look kind of odd, what happened there, but it seems like the bottom line is if people don't commit crimes and they cooperate with police officers, we wouldn't even be discussing any of this stuff. And for the president to think that the solution to the problem is to stick cameras on cops, I mean, the crime in most instances has already occurred before the cop even gets there. That's why the cop is called, to come help with the crime. And for him to, his whole position is against the cops instead of against the crimes that are being committed. If Michael Brown doesn't punch Darren Wilson in the face and wrestle him for his gun, Michael Brown's still alive today. But I guess it was Darren Wilson's fault that he punched him in the face and was trying to grab his gun. I mean, I just don't understand how you can look at the evidence of this information unless you just have zero interest in the truth. All you want to do is race bait and create division and gin up all this other stuff for other reasons. It's just amazing to
me. Look at, Mike, look what's going on in Salt Lake and across the country, and I'm thinking to myself, is it that bad? Is it that bad so much that all of a sudden we have a guy in Canyon County that, you know, is convicted of sexual battery with a 13-year-old girl, lewd conduct with a 17-year-old girl, and he his case is being looked at because the prosecutor quoted Dixie? Is it really that bad?
Yeah. If President Obama and the administration hadn't injected themselves into the situation in Ferguson and the Trayvon Martin thing and all this other stuff, Eric Holder doesn't go down to Ferguson. If Al Sharpton isn't specifically selected by the Obama administration as their mouthpiece, are you kidding me? If that doesn't tell you what the Obama administration, what Obama's position is, that he's the mouthpiece for them, if they hadn't interjected themselves into that situation, none of what's going on now would be going on.
It's a great point, Mike. Got to run. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Hello, K. Millie in the morning, currently 38 in Caldwell. Coming up next, who's number one? Should be America.
Serving